I love Jesus.
Amen.
I've confessed it before. I'm in love with a man. I am. I'm in love with a man named Jesus. Praise God. Love Him so, so much. He's so wonderful, isn't He? Praise God. He's so, so good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, before we get into today's message and before we pray for the message, today's Mother's Day, of course, and it's a bummer, you know. I can't be with my mom. She lives down south, and I love her, so thankful for her and all she's done for me. And she's put up with a lot with this one. I tell you what, my goodness. Man, oh man. I don't know. I'm sorry. I guess that's all I can say is I'm sorry, you know. But anyways, and to not be able to be with all of you on Mother's Day weekend, it hurts my heart a little bit, you know. But yesterday as I was meditating on the message, I started to think about Mother's Day and you know, I was thinking about my mom, you know, and all the stuff she's done for me, all the sacrifices she's made, you know, and I owe her so much, and I was just so grateful for a mother's love, you know, and thinking about my kids with Court and Caleb and Abby. You're blessed to have your mom, you know. You ought to give her a big old hug and a kiss and tell her thank you, you know. And I got to thinking about all the moms in the churches, you know, that I have the fortunate opportunity to get to know many people and to get to know you personally. And I've gotten to know so many of you moms personally, and I know the love that you have for your children. And I know the care and the dedication and the sacrifices you've made, and it doesn't go unnoticed. God sees it, and I'll tell you what, Pastor Mike sees it as well. And we just love you today, and we honor you and celebrate you. And as I was thinking about my mom and my kids with Court and all the other moms in the churches, I was inspired to write a Mother's Day poem. And so this is my blessing to you today. Hopefully enjoy it, but this poem, we mean these words and want them to sink into your heart and know that you're loved and appreciated. But this is the Mother's Day poem that I'm writing for you moms, and so hopefully you'll be blessed. But moms, on this special day, it is our pleasure to salute you for all the countless things you have willingly done and still continue to do. There is nothing on this earth that can take the place of a mom and her love. She can comfort like no other, a true gift from heaven above. A safe place to hide when things go astray, a soft place to land when life is in disarray. The most faithful cheerleader a person could ever have, loyal and completely biased, on her children's side, she will always stand. Many times the dedication you gave was quiet and unseen. It came with no accolades or rewards, no recognition of all your deeds. You have been a solid rock up until now and from way back at the start. Please know that without a shadow of a doubt, you are loved with all our heart. So moms, thank you. Thank you. We could never say it enough. We owe you our lives, for you gave of yours so much. And every word of that I meant, you know, and it's amazing seeing moms and what they give up and what they sacrifice. And just know, moms, we love you. We're just believing for God's highest and best in your life. And mom, hi mom, you know, I'm on TV now, you know, that's what they do. That I never made it as a baseball player, and they usually get to say, you know, hi mom when they're on TV. Well, I'm on TV now, I guess, if she's got me plugged in. So hi mom, happy Mother's Day, I love you, miss you, and all the moms out there, we just love and appreciate you. Thank you so much for what you do. Life would not be the same without you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready to pray for today's message? Glory to God. Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord, we do. We thank you for all the moms, the wonderful ladies that you've put in our lives, Father, to help us, to guide us, to sacrifice for us, to do so many wonderful things, things that go unseen with no, many times no thank yous. Just they do it from a place of love. And so, Father, I pray that you'd bless the moms today. Special blessing for them, Lord. Let them know they're loved and appreciated and cared for. And Father, help us this morning as we go forward in your word. Help us to say what needs to be said. Help us to do what needs to be done. And Father, we need your help today. We need utterance from heaven. So Father, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Just like the psalmist of old said that when I open my mouth, words from heaven come out. Bullseyes are hit in people's hearts. And Father, I thank you we're changed today. Thank you we go to a new level of glory. And Father, we give you the praise. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, go with me to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. Matthew 22 and verse 14. Praise God. The Bible says, and this is Jesus saying this, he says, there's many that are called, but few are chosen. Well, what's it mean by chosen? Chosen by God to walk things out. Chosen by God to do things for him on the earth. I mean, what an honor it is to be called of God. What an honor it is for God to tap you on the shoulder and have you talk to someone, have you witness to somebody, have you bless somebody, have you be in ministry, whatever. But the Bible says there's many that are called. Many's a great number. He says, but only a few are chosen. And we know this, that as we read the Word of God, and I don't have time to really teach on it and things, but those that were used greatly of God had some very special characteristics in their life. And those characteristics enabled God to choose them to do His Word. Now, they weren't perfect. Don't misunderstand me by that. But you see mighty men and women of God that God had great things to do through them. They exuded some pretty wonderful characteristics. And I've been wanting to preach a sermon on the Virgin Mary. Of course, she had had children after, but you know, I'm just kind of let you know which Mary I'm talking about, the mother of Jesus. I've wanted to preach a sermon on her for a while and just haven't had the release. And I saw it so wonderful that the Holy Ghost gave me the release to do it on Mother's Day, because to me, she's the most famous mom in the history of everything. You know, I'm not saying she's the best mom. I think I got the best mom. Hopefully you think you got the best mom. But she was the most famous. I mean, I think anyways, being the mom of Jesus. But if you think about that verse, many are called, few are chosen. Think of the status that Mary must have had for God to look at her and entrust His whole plan with her. His whole plan on this earth started with Mary. He looked at Mary and said, "You're the one that's going to carry the Savior of the world. Mankind is going to rise or fall, Mary, depending on how you carry this out." God couldn't just pick anybody. Because not only was there things prior to him being born that she had to be careful of with Joseph and Herod wanting to kill the babies and get after Jesus. And then there's the whole raising of a child and making sure things are okay and the devil after him and all this stuff. There was so much riding on him. God needed a special vessel to work his plan through. He didn't just any, mini, mighty, mo all the women on the earth at the time. He chose Mary. And I'll tell you what, Mary has some characteristics and qualities that will not only be a blessing to your everyday life, but will set you up to be in a position for God to tap you on the shoulder and have you do things on this earth. I think it's such a dry and unfulfilling life to go through this world just for me. Just for my stuff, for my things. That's so unfulfilling, because when this life is over, everything, you know, all the turkeys I killed, all the deer on the wall, all the entertainment that we like and things we like to do mean nothing. Everything you hoard for yourself and sow into yourself, it's all a big fat nothing. But that which we do for Him echoes for eternity and goes with us to heaven. The Bible says don't store up things on this earth where moths, rust, and thieves can come in and steal and destroy it. He says, but put your treasures in heaven, praise God. When we do things for Him and are faithful to do things for Him and to carry out the plan that He has for us, we get rewards in the eternal realm. Amen. I can't take my turkey spurs with me. I can't take my turkey beards with me. The bucks on the wall, I'm looking at them now because I'm not going to see them for eternity, you know? And He wants to work through His children. But unfortunately, many of us are called to do things. And I don't just mean a pulpit ministry. Listen, this is just one avenue of calling. When He tells you to talk to your neighbor about Him, that's a calling. When He tells you to do a certain blessing or do something, that's a calling. But there's many people, the Bible says, that He can't choose. And again, we look at it, a lot of times it has to do with people's characteristics. Too full of themselves, too busy with other things. But Mary, what must have God seen in her to say, that's who's going to give birth to the Savior. That's who I want to put my son in. Wow! When you think about that, wow! Some things we can learn about her, amen? Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Praise God. You almost think this would be a Christmas message with the verses we're reading, but it's not. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read down through the whole thing, but within the points that the Holy Ghost had given me to bring out about Mary, we'll go to the certain scriptures here in the Word that point out and back up what they say about Mary. But I want to just start this with Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. What's he saying? God's blessed you. God's looking highly upon you. God's got a plan for you. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation that this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be, and we shall call his name Jesus. If you really think about the trust that God would have in her, how highly God would have thought about her. Because there's no doubt there were several women on planet Earth, multitudes, that God would not be able to work that plan in. That God would not be able to trust. Well, if God needs something done on this earth, I want Him to look at Pastor Mike Anderson and say, that's somebody I can use. Because again, not only is it a joy and an honor to be used by Him, there's so many blessings that come with being faithful and serving Him. And it's the most fulfilling thing ever.
Amen.
Leading somebody to Jesus is up here. Killing a trophy buck is down here. Doing something for God is so far higher than any vacation I've ever been on. Any natural thing in the world.
Yes.
It's an honor. And so many people say, well, God has nothing for me to do. I've not been told to do anything. Maybe God's having trouble using you.
Wow.
And let's look at Mary, someone who had characteristics and qualities. What does the Holy Ghost want to say to us today? Because I want to get us all in line.
Yes.
I want us all to be able to be used by God and to be a blessing on this earth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And plus, not only will this set you up to be a blessing, it'll help your personal life. Because these things, when they're not operating in your life, they're detrimental to you. But the first thing I want you to see with Mary, a characteristic and a quality that God doesn't look lightly upon. You know, Proverbs 6 says there's things that the Lord hates. And the first thing He says is pride, a haughty look. He can't stand pride. The first characteristic about Mary that stands out in these verses and we'll read is she was humble. Hallelujah. What does prideful mean? To have a high opinion of oneself or to be full of oneself. To value the importance of yourself greater than it really is, to really think the world, wow, I'm wonderful. I'm great. My abilities, my skills, my talents, the world is blessed to have me. That's pride. Now, the opposite of pride is humility. Now, humility is not putting yourself down. That's false humility. But humility is raising other people up. Humility is exalting other people above yourself. Amen? Humility is not, well, I'm an idiot and I'm such a moron. That's false humility. We don't do that to ourselves. That's wrong. But Mary was humble. Now, go with me down to verse 39. Now, this is after the angel told her that this is going to happen and she's going to give birth to the Savior, Son of God. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with the haste in the city of Judea, entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, now think about this, the babe leaped in her womb. Now remember, Elizabeth has a baby in her belly too. It's John the Baptist. And the Bible says that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, or John the Baptist, leaped. Something got the baby excited in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we know in verse 42 that Elizabeth was then given a word of knowledge about this. It says, and Elizabeth spoke out loud with a loud voice and said, now she's speaking this to Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me, or how is this happening to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth is singing the praises of Mary, right? John the Baptist is excited. Why? Because the one carrying Jesus is there. And John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus. And so when Mary came around, the babe got excited in Elizabeth's belly. John the Baptist got excited. And Elizabeth is saying, who am I that the mother carrying my Lord should come visit me? That's humility on Elizabeth's part. She's singing the praises of Mary. And she says, verse 44, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. John the Baptist was pumped. He was doing a Holy Ghost dance in his mama's belly, right in the womb. Praise God. And blessed is she that believed, talking about Mary, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told of her from the Lord. Now, think about this. Naturally, Mary was in a position that no human being had ever been in and ever will be in for the rest of eternity. Right. What? The opportunity and privilege to carry Jesus in her belly. Praise God. No human being has ever got a call from the Father of that magnitude. Yes. Every natural reason would be for Mary to be puffed up. Prideful. You know, that's why those turkeys do that. They're puffed up with pride. Look at my feathers. Look at my tail fan. That's what they're doing. Come on, hens, come to me. You know? Mary had every reason to puff up her feathers. And Elizabeth was praising her. And Elizabeth was magnifying her. But that wasn't who Mary was. Look at what Mary instantly does in verse 46. And Mary says, yeah, that's right. I am the woman. I am the one. That's right. God chose me. That's right. Not anybody else. Come on, sing my praises. No. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. What'd she do? Turned all the attention off of herself onto the Father. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Hallelujah. For He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, praise God, all generations shall call me blessed, for He that is mighty has done to me great things in His holy name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered. None of this is me, me, me. It's Him, Him, Him. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He hath hope in His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. And He spoke to our fathers, Abraham, as to his seed forever. Wow. I love it. She's in a natural position to naturally be puffed up, to get a pretty big head. I'm carrying the Savior. No one else is going to do that. No one else is called upon to do that. In all the world, I was the one. And what does she do? Father, I praise You, Lord. She turns the attention to God. There are a lot of people that cannot be used by Him because they're so full of themselves. Everything's about them. Everything's about what they're doing, their talents, their abilities. You know, it's unfortunate. I even think in the day and age we're living in, I believe that we have a disadvantage in keeping pride down because we live in a society that is a look-at-me society. A society of Facebook, a society of Instagram that's, look at me. Look how wonderful I am. Look how good-looking I am. Look at my body. Look at all this. It's all me, me, me. Put ourselves out there. Look what I'm doing. Look at my talents. Look at my abilities. We live in an age and day when the athletes tattoo on their chests and things that they're the greatest, that they say in interviews that they're the best. I heard a gentleman before the NFL draft. He said, yeah, I'm the best one in the draft. I'd be no shame at all. It's the truth.
Yes. So true.
Athletes tattooing on their bodies that they're the king.
Oh.
It's the truth. There's only one king.
Amen.
But it's what? Look at me, society. Look what I can do. Everybody watch me. I want to get myself out there. And they didn't have Facebook back then and Instagram and the media and things. And so we live in a society that promotes look at me. That promotes this, and it's gross, and it's ishy, and yucky, and icky to God. He hates it. He hates it. And if you say, I have no pride, we've located you, you are prideful. Well, I'm not prideful. No, I'm not prideful at all. I'm super humble. No, you're actually super prideful. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't judge your own self. The Lord does.
That's right. Amen.
These are heart things. And you know, the interesting thing is, the people that were used mightily in the Bible were humble.
Yeah.
In Numbers 12 and verse 3, it says that the man Moses was the most humble man on all the earth.
Yeah.
Look what God did through that man.
Yes.
You think about the Apostle Paul, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He talks about over there in Philippians chapter 3, where he mentions all his past accolades. How he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, touching the law, blameless. All the things he did, and he said, they're nothing anymore. In fact, he said, they're but cow poop. Dung, he said. He said, the only thing that matters now is not what I've done, not what I can do, not who I am. The only thing that matters now is Jesus.
Yes.
Humble. And go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at our greatest example, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's our ultimate example of humility. Praise God. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, it says this. Let this mind, verse 5, be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with Him. It wasn't a false statement. He was equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself.
Yeah.
If there's anybody that has the right to strut around and to gobble and show their feathers, it's Christ.
Yes.
But what did Jesus do? He became humble. He humbled Himself. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Are you a look at me type person? Are you always trying to let people know everything that you're doing and always looking for praise from people? If you're always looking for adoration and acclamation and some kind of, just whatever praise is being hailed upon you, you have a pride problem.
Yeah.
You do. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 here. Look at what the Bible says about pride. We could teach weeks on pride. I only have a few minutes. I got some more points to get to. But Mary was humble.
Yes. Amen.
God couldn't have somebody going around saying, guess what the angel told me. The Bible says about Mary, she pondered things in her heart. Well, I'm used this way. Well, God told me this. How amazing am I that I heard this from heaven?
Yeah.
Be careful spouting off everything that the Lord's told you. Mary didn't do it. Mary didn't do it. Well, look at me, I'm carrying the Savior. That would have attracted the wrong attention. God needed somebody that was humble. Praise God. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder, yea, all of you subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. What's he saying? The clothes you should wear is not the clothes of pride, the clothes of humility. For God resists the proud. Wow! You know what resist means? To oppose. And when I think of opposition, I think of sports, and I think of the opposition, the other team. You know, you think about a football team, and the offensive linemen they line up, and the defensive linemen line up. They're not working together. The offensive lineman's trying to go this way, and the defense is trying to push them this way, and when the ball snapped, they oppose one another. There's resistance there. What? The running back a lot of times doesn't have just a huge hole with green grass to run through. There's big guys there trying to resist or oppose him. And the Bible says God resists. He doesn't just ignore. He actually sets himself against the proud. He hates it, Proverbs 6 says. Mary was humble, but look at this, the opposite of it. He gives grace to the humble. Grace, do I need grace? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace were you saved through your faith. What flowed through your faith? Grace. What did that grace have the power to do? Translate you from death to life, from darkness to light, from the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of Jesus. The greatest miracle you ever had in your life was not when you received your healing. Some of you have healing miracles you can tell about. That wasn't your greatest miracle. Some of you have financial miracles and miracles with your children and things in your life. That wasn't your greatest miracle. The greatest miracle you ever received was when you were walking in spiritual death and were translated into light, into life. Well, how was that done? By grace. God's grace has the power to raise the dead and transform them into life. So when he says he gives grace to the humble, you think your life could use some of that grace?
Amen.
Amen. The way you get that grace fountain shut off is to walk in pride. Look at me. I'm so wonderful. I'm so great. Joseph walked in pride and it got him in trouble in the beginning. Remember? He had to get humble. He got humble and God exalted him. But remember, Joseph got a dream from the Lord. Went and told all his brothers, man, y'all gonna be bowing down to me. God told me this. Oh, pride, stinky, stinky pride.
Yeah, so true.
Ooh, something stinks in here. Yeah. Wow. Oh, I'm gonna say it. You've all heard, forgive my crudeness, the term SBD. Silent but deadly.
Yes, yes, okay.
Woo! Joseph, he had a PBD. Prideful but deadly. Woo! I think Joseph just had a PBD accident, praise God. You don't want to do that, stinky. And what happened? Got him into trouble. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. What? His power, His mercy flows. Again, forgive me. I don't know what happens up here. Sometimes things just happen. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. See, so many people want to get themselves to the front of the line, want to promote themselves. Mary was just minding her own business, being humble, and God exalted her. The way up is down. The way up is down. Down what? Father, I pray this all the time. Lord, I'm just a branch. John 15 tells us, He's the vine, we're branches. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. When I pray that, I mean it.
Yes. Amen.
You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, I think it's over in verse 27, it says, God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, why? So no flesh can glory or boast.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, now I see why You picked me.
Yeah.
Not many more things foolish than this guy up here. And the things in my past, and the mistakes I've made, and all the failures. Listen, I am well aware that I am nothing without Him. I am well aware that anything good that comes out of me is because of Him.
Amen.
Amen. It's true. Hallelujah. The way up is down. Lord, I could do nothing without You. Father, if there's pride in me, if there's promotion of self-promotion, burn it out of me. Show me, Father. Show me, Father. And He'll exalt you in due times. We don't need to be letting any PBDs go flying through the air. That's not going to help you. Praise God. Number two. Are you ready? She was humble. Go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Again, we're looking at characteristics of Mary that God was able to use her mightily and things in her life that will be a blessing to us. One, she was humble. Number two, she had a servant's heart.
Yes. Amen.
She had a servant's heart. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. And Mary said, now this is after the angel spoke to her, the word from heaven, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, you have to understand, what does the handmaiden of the Lord mean? It means bond servant. Means someone that is in service to God. Look up that word in the Greek. The handmaid means to be the bondservant or like a slave is what it means to the Lord. So He gives her a word and she says basically, I don't have a choice with this. I am the Lord's handmaiden. I love it. She didn't argue. She didn't check her feelings. She didn't check what she was convenient for her. Listen, she was a virgin, never knew a man back in those times, and had to go tell the one that she's going to marry, hey, I'm pregnant. And he's thinking, say what? And it's not convenient, and the pressure, and all this, and maybe it doesn't fit her life, and she's a young girl, and she never checked her feelings. She never checked her convenience level. She never checked if she wanted to or not.
Right. Yeah.
God said there was a need, and she said,
yeah.
I'm His slave.
Yeah.
I'm His servant.
Yeah.
I don't have a choice in this anyways. Here I am.
Yeah.
And God knew that was her heart.
Yes.
Praise God. What did it say about Jesus? We just read that He became... He became humble and became a servant and became humble and became obedient to the death of a cross. I find it amazing about Jesus. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, go there. Jesus' mentality compared to a lot of people's mentality in the churches. Now see, what people have mistaken, one way I can easily bring this back to really be practical is in the church. Now, there's opportunities to serve outside the local church. God will have you do things outside the local church. But the Bible says we're all called to a local church.
Amen.
And the Bible also says that in a local church, we're members of that body. And each member has parts and functions and things to do. And Ephesians 4 says that you are to do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry, the work of the church, the work that goes on in the church is to be done by God's people.
Amen.
Yet some people think they're exempt from this. Some people think, I don't need to clean the church. Some people think, I don't need to do nursery. I don't need to serve in children's. I don't need to usher. I don't need to do overhead. I don't need to do whatever we have to do. Someone else will do it. Man, thank God everybody doesn't take that thought. Or I'd be running around like a chicken with my head cut off doing everything around here. And some people have mistaken that when the church has need, that's just God saying, I have a need. But people have said, no, that's Pastor Mike. No, 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 no. Pastor Mike is a servant of the Lord, carrying out God's will, God's plan.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not just talking in church, I'm talking outside church, but in church we see it a lot. And it's amazing the mentality that a lot of the body of Christ has. It's not a Mary mentality. How do you know? Hey, we need help in nursery. Crickets. Crickets. I know Mary Jo's amen in me right now. I know Annie and Allegheny, they're amen to me right now. Cricket. Cricket. Oh, I sure could use an ushering. Cricket. Boy, it'd be nice if we get some more cleaners and spread it out. Cricket at times. Now, let me say, we have so many wonderful, faithful people. You need to be praised for what you do, and we're so thankful. But God wants us all to have a heart like this. God wants to promote us all. And it's so it's amazing that people don't have the mentality like, Mary, what's she saying? Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what I want. Doesn't matter what's convenient to me. Doesn't matter what I want to do. I'm the slave of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I don't like kids.
Come on.
Well, cleaning's not my thing.
Come on.
Well, you know, this and that.
Come on, stir it up. It's good.
Yeah, but that's just Pastor Mike asking me. That's not God.
No.
Pastor Mike's your visitation from heaven.
Yes.
That's what a pastor is.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Matthew chapter 20. In verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to serve and to give his life a ransom. Jesus was our example. He wasn't here for everybody to bow down to him and serve him. He came to be a servant.
Amen.
Amen. And so many people have this handout mentality. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. I'll take all you can gimme. Yeah.
It's so true. Come on.
And Jesus didn't have that mentality.
Yeah. That's right.
The Bible says, as Jesus' custom was in Luke chapter 4, he went into the synagogue, therefore, to read. He served in his local church. He went to church and served in his local church.
Yes.
Oh, I want to be like Jesus. I want the blessings of God. Nursery, cricket. Ushering, cricket.
Come on. Bring it.
The truth. It's the truth. Praise God. Y'all still smiling in these seats. I see it. Yep, nobody's got a frown. James is still sleeping, but anyways, everybody's smiling still, so still love me, I think.
Yeah,
amen.
I'm just picturing y'all looking like this right now, so.
Amen.
Matthew 23 and verse 11. Oh, Pastor Mike, you're trying to put a yoke of bondage on us. No, I'm trying to lift you up. I'm trying to get you exalted. What do you mean? No, you're just trying to put that yoke of nursery on me. That yoke of condemnation to serve. Serving's not condemnation. Serving's not a yoke. Serving's not bondage. You're looking at it wrong. Serving is an opportunity. Serving is a blessing. Serving is a privilege. Matthew 23:11. But he that is greatest among you, this is Jesus' view, shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself will be abased or brought low. And he that humbles himself. What's humility? Being a servant.
Yeah, amen.
Being a servant.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm, you might think in your head, well, nursery's below me.
No.
That's pride.
Yeah.
Humble says, I don't care what I think. Lord, if you have need of it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it, praise God.
Yeah.
I'm going to work in children's. I'm going to clean. I'm going to do whatever you need, Lord. That's a servant's heart. And Jesus said, that's the great people. I want God to look at me as great. I want God to look at me as great.
Praise God.
So she had a servant's heart. Number 3, go to John chapter 2 and verse 1. You blessed today? Mother's Day, looking at the greatest mom. Not the greatest mom, but the most famous mom. You understand what I meant by that? John chapter 2 and verse 1. So Mary was humble. Mary had a servant's heart, but Mary was wise. God can't use dummies. God can't use fools that are going to mishandle His things and not be able to be promoted and things like that. What do you mean she was wise? And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what do I have to do to you with you?" She's asked Him, "Hey, they don't have any wine. My hour is not yet come." Now listen to this. Mary shows she's a woman of wisdom. You could also look back when she was carrying Jesus that she kept her mouth shut. Wisdom. His mother said unto the servants, "Whatever He says, do it." How is that wise? Go with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Remember what Mary said, "Whatever He says, do it." That is such wise counsel. Amen. That is a person that has wisdom beyond their years. Matthew 7 verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them." What did Mary say? Whatever He says. Basically, she's saying, "Hey, servants, whatever you hear, do it." What did Jesus say? "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man." You know what a synonym of foolish is? Stupid. Look it up. Dumb. He said, the one that hears what I say and doesn't do them, they're dummies. They're stupid. "Oh, Pastor Mike, that's too harsh." That's what a fool is. Look it up. Foolish man. He said, built his house on the sand, the rains descend, the floods came, the winds blow, beat on the house, and it falls, and great is the fall of it. Doesn't lead to anything good. What was I telling you in the offering today? Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, that makes rich. But when you do the blessing of your own self, it doesn't lead to the same richness. In fact, it leads to sorrow. Now, here's what I want to help people with. I know there's people out there right now. You're watching me, and you're getting a little hot under the collar right now. How do I know? You've heard me talk about tithing till my face turns blue and you still don't do it. You've heard me talk about serving and show you in the Bible that it's God's word and you don't do it. And so you're getting a little hot under there. Don't turn me off. Don't pretend you have internet problems all of a sudden. Yeah. You've heard me talk about walking in love and forgiving people. But you hold on to your grudges. You've heard me talk about and point out in Scripture about coming to church. And you come up with all your excuses why you can't come. Yeah. It's getting a little hotter to the collar, isn't it? I'm here to tell you something. Those words to you of go to church, serve, walk in love, forgive, be a blessing, tithe, give offerings, those are not yokes around your neck. Yeah, they are catapults into your best blessing you've ever had. Amen. It's the truth. Oh, God's word is the cheat sheet to pass life's tests. Financial tests. He gives you the cheat sheet. What? Tithe and give offerings. Your faith to work. He gives you the cheat sheet. Walk in love. Forgive. I want to be great. I want to be used by God. Be humble. Be a servant. Too many people have looked at this as a burden weighing you down. No. This ain't a burden that weighed me down. This was the supernatural trampoline that exalted me way higher and took me out of the depths, praise God, and out of the muck and the mire. It's the truth. You're looking at it wrong. But Jesus says when you don't do the word, you're a fool. Why wouldn't you be a fool? It's your ticket into more. It's your ticket into greater. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the cheat sheet for life. Praise you, Lord. Mary knew it. Yeah. Whatever he says, just do it. Do you want to be blessed? Just do whatever he says. You know what I say to you this morning? Whatever he says to you, child of God, do it. Amen. Say, well, he's not speaking to me. He spoke a whole lot to you.
Yes. 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 Amen.
It's the truth.
Yes.
It starts with this book. Can you be faithful with what's in here? Can you come to church and be faithful? Can you serve? Can you forgive? Can you walk in love? Can you financially be a blessing? He's not speaking to me. Oh, he's saying a whole lot to you. He's just waiting for you to do these things first. Praise God. Happy Mother's Day. Number four. Number one, she was humble. Number two, she had a servant's heart. Number three, she was wise. Number four, Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Praise God. Luke 1 and verse 38. She was a person of faith. What does that mean? She believed God. What does it say in verse 38? And Mary said, now remember, she just got told a whole lot of information that will make your mind spin. You're going to carry the Son of God. I don't even know a man. That's okay. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And you're going to be pregnant without even knowing a man. And the baby inside you is going to be the greatest there ever. Well, I mean, my goodness. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. What is she saying? As you have spoken it, it'll be so. Amen. If that's what you say, so be it.
Amen.
Biologically and whatever word you want to use there, scientifically and all that stuff, there's no way I can have a baby without knowing a man. And the Holy Ghost is going to put a baby in me? What? No, none of that. You said it, Lord, you said it. I don't care what the natural says. I don't care what the natural looks like. I don't care what the natural feels like. I don't care what my thoughts say. If you said it, it's settled. Praise God. You look in verse 45, Elizabeth talking about Mary said, and blessed is she that believed. We see the difference if you read down through Luke chapter 1. We see Zacharias, John the Baptist's daddy, was told that Elizabeth was going to have a baby. And he didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. Go read it. He wasn't in faith. Mary got kind of along the same lines, paralleled in some ways, same kind of word. She believed it. And the Bible says she was blessed. Zacharias didn't get a blessing after that. His mouth got shut for a while. Couldn't talk for a while. Didn't believe the word of God. Why? The natural said no. Mary didn't care about the natural.
Amen.
Now, go to Hebrews 11:6. I want to show you why this faith thing is so important. Hebrews 11:6. And I am going to simplify faith for you this morning. In any situation that you're going through right now, I don't care how hot the fires of hell are bearing down on you. I care what the checkbook looks like. What the symptoms in your body say, what the circumstances say, I want to take faith down to the easiest form for you and make it so simple for you that you can walk out of this service knowing things are changing for me.
Praise God.
Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
Please Him. Amen. Faith pleases the Father.
Right.
Because what is faith? Well, Mary showed us what faith is. Whatever your word says. Faith, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Walk by what we can't see. Well, what do we walk by? That which He says to us. And Mary said, according to your word, I believe. She didn't look to her body. She didn't look to Project No. In the science books. And history of how babies are born and what the doctors would say and what the neighbors would say and how she feels. Only thing that mattered to her, what did you say, Father?
Amen.
According to your word, be it done unto me. So why does faith please God? Because faith is believing what Dad says.
Amen.
Now this is a small example, but both of my children in the beginning stages of swimming, they're good swimmers now, but they had hindrances with swimming. And it's interesting, even in the pool, that the Holy Ghost would talk to me and bring things out, and I would see things about the Father. And my pastor told me that when you have children, you'll see things different, and you'll see things of God in a whole different light. And it's true, you know, I'd be in the pool, and whether it would be to tell them to jump off the deck into my arms or to, you know, be on the side holding onto the wall, and they take their little swimmies off their arm, and I go out a little ways and I tell them to come to me, and you know, their thoughts are going to sink, they don't know how to swim, and I'm sitting there telling them it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. You don't have to worry about anything. I'm telling you, you're going to be okay. I'm telling you, you're going to make it. And when they cling to the natural, the side, and they cling to their thoughts about sinking and what they can do and what they can't do and their fears, and they usurp my word with those fears and worries and natural, it hurts, Dad.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Because I'm saying to them, I gave you life. I love you so much. There's nobody on planet Earth that loves you more. There's nobody on planet Earth that wants to do more for you. There's nobody on planet Earth that wants to bless you more than I do. Why won't you trust me? All faith is, here it is, we're simplifying all the equations and all the formulas and all the steps. We're simplifying, we're dumbing it down. Faith for Dummies right now. You ever seen those books? Those books? You know, Mechanics for Dummies, Golf for Dummies, Chemistry for Dummies. You know all those books. We're dumbing it down. What is faith? Faith is simply agreeing with what God says.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God.
I know. Yeah. Where's the fireworks?
Yeah.
Mary was in faith. What'd she do? Okay. You said I'm going to have... Okay. How does that pertain to you? Your body has symptoms right now. Your body and the pills you take and the doctors say something and it's saying something to you. But God says, I'll heal all your diseases.
Amen.
By His stripes you're healed. Faith is just saying, I'm healed.
Praise God.
I agree with that, Father.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
And when the thoughts come, no, I'm healed. That's how you walk into your healing.
Yes.
But so many people give too much attention to the natural. Your checkbook might say some things right now. Your checkbook might say, going under. Not going to be able to pay your bills. Going to lose your house. Going to lose your home. Going to lose your car. Going to lose things. Going to have to make major changes. We're going to be struggling. That's what your situation says. That's what your checkbook says. That's what your money says. But the Word says, I'll meet all your needs.
Yes. Praise God.
Praise God.
Faith is just simply saying, in the midst of all that storm, okay.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Yes.
And the checkbook's talking. And the bills are talking. And the job's talking. And you just say, okay. Jesus was on the boat in the middle of a storm, asleep on a pillow. Why? He already spoke the word. I'm going to the other side.
Yeah.
The Father has me going to the other side. Well, this storm's coming. Okay, I see the storm, but I'm going to the other side.
Yeah.
See, we try to work up with formulas and all this. It's just simply believing God and agreeing with Him.
Yes.
And it pleases the Father because it shows you trust Him.
Yes.
And nothing blesses me more when the kids jump off the deck into my arms and trust in me. And I say, see?
Yeah.
I told the story about the water park, and I'll close with this, with Caleb. Because faith is simply believing and agreeing with God. We went to Waldemere, you know, and there's, they call it the Bermuda Triangle there, and there's three slides. And on these three slides, there's two outer ones and a middle one. And the two outer ones, they kind of go out and around and then down, and they're really fast. But the middle one, it's straight down. And it's crazy, you know. You actually, your body comes off the tube. It's a free fall. You hit that water, and you skim across that water like you're skipping a rock across a pond. And Caleb would see that, and he'd see the people come shooting out of that, you know, and look scary. And I know a little bit about my son and things he enjoys, but it looked so scary. And I took him off to the side where there was the chairs that you could sit to watch and things. And I said, buddy, I said, I will never tell you anything that will hurt you. I will never tell you anything that will make your life bad or put you in danger. In fact, I'm telling you, I want you just to not think about the slide. I want you not to think about what your mind's telling you and all your fears. I want you just to listen to my voice. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. Your dad is telling you, Now his mind's telling him no. The natural's looking like no. God's telling you you're healed. The natural's telling you no. Your body's telling you no. Your finances are telling you no. Your situation's telling you no. But your Father's saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I said, buddy, trust me. Trust me. You're going to love this. I promise you. That settled it. So he walks up there in the face of those fears and the slide, gets on that, comes skipping across. I told him I'd be down there waiting for him. I'm waiting for him to come out of that. He comes out. He jumps up out of the water. That was awesome. Buddy, I told you. You can believe your daddy's word over your feelings and over your fears. Mary was a lady of faith. Yes, she was. And we can learn a lot about what did she do? Just simply agreed with God in the midst of the circumstances. Well, I hope you were blessed this morning. I hope you were blessed. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. We learned a lot. We had our toes stepped on in places. We were encouraged. We were enlightened. Father, we got revelation. I know that we all have adjustments we can make. We can always do better. Father, we're never mad at anybody or condemning anybody. We're always trying to bring people up higher. Because I know if people will be humble, if people will serve, if people will endeavor to be a faith person, Father, if people will do your word, Lord, I know life will be better for them. So we're not coming down on anybody. We're trying to lift people up. So I pray that everybody be encouraged today, would make the adjustments where adjustments need to be made, tweak what needs to be tweaked, praise God. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for what will come from it. Only blessings will come from being a doer of the word. Now, Father, I just thank you so much for your son Jesus this morning. The Bible says, you know, we talked about him today, that he humbled himself. Became a servant in the likeness of men and has become obedient to the death of the cross. Now, the reason Jesus went to the cross was because on the cross something happened. The sins of mankind was placed on Jesus on the cross, so he'd bear them in his body. So you could get rid of them, praise God. Why? So we could be brought back into fellowship with the Father. So we could live eternally with him. If you're tuning in with us and, well, I guess I'd say this. Ask yourself this question, everybody that's watching. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know the answer is yes. And it's not because I guessed something or made something up or some hope or fairy tale that I'm believing. I have biblical proof, the Word of God on it. That the Bible says, if I believe on Jesus and receive him into my life, I will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 tells me that, and Romans 10 and verse 13 tells me that. So if you asked yourself that question and the answer was, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, or I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven, I'd like to go to heaven, it's all about Jesus. It's not about your church attendance or lack thereof. It's not about if you've been a good person or lack thereof. It's not about if you've been generous or not. It's about what you do with Jesus. And if you're watching and you can say, in my heart of hearts, I believe that Jesus was real. I can't explain everything. My head tries to talk me out of it, but in my heart, there's something there that tells me he's real. You are qualified and a candidate for salvation. And the last thing you have to do is release your faith. So I want to ask everybody that's watching to bow your heads and to close your eyes. If you want to be included in this prayer and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what does that do for you? It gives you eternal life, but also it makes God your heavenly Father that will help you here on this earth. I thought God was already my Father. God is not a father to all of creation. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says that God is the Father to those that receive his son Jesus. You can look that up and see that there. So it enables you to for heaven, but it gives you the opportunity to be blessed here on earth. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Just mean it with all your heart. Those of us that are watching that are already born again, let's join in faith with people that could potentially be praying this for the first time. And let's all say this together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe in you.
I believe
you are real. And I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, congratulations. Life's about to get good for you. You have the Father's help. We'd love to help you. Give me a phone call. Shoot me an email. Let me know you prayed that for the first time. You know, heaven is yours, but man, we got some days and years to live till we get there. And God wants to help you in those days and those years. And so let us know. Before you're dismissed, don't forget Wednesday night, the God of Provision, part two. I encourage you, if you haven't heard the first service in that series, go back and listen to it on live stream. And then also, moms, we love you so much. And I'm just going to say this, you know, normally we bless you with a flower. We're not going to forget about you. We're going to make it up to you somehow when you come back. But love you and appreciate you so much. Thank you for all that you do. My goodness, we're so thankful for our moms. Let's all stand up and let's worship Him before we dismiss. Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for all the blessings we have. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. Appreciate you. You're dismissed.